Yeah, you're stuck with me. All I can think of after Carlton said that was that, remember that old 90s song, I've Got the Power? Okay. That's all I could think of standing over there. As always, I'm honored to share the pulpit with Pastor tonight. And I'm speaking on a subject that is getting me way out of my comfort zone. It's definitely a pastor subject. And as soon as he had asked me to share tonight, I knew I was supposed to share on the subject because it's something that God has just been working in me and really revealing to me the past few months. And so tonight we're going to talk about the title of the message is called There's a Dream for You. There's a Dream for You. So let's pray. God, I thank you for your presence here tonight. I thank you for just your grace and your love as always to every single one of us. And I just pray that you take me out of the equation tonight. Fill me up with your voice, your words, God, and let us all open up our hearts to what you have for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a dream for you. So we all have dreams. We all have goals in our hearts. And even for those of us that maybe don't want to share those dreams or think or admit that we have them, they are there. We might even have lost dreams, things that we might think will never happen, so we don't really say those things. And these past few months, I'm just so in awe of God and realizing that the dreams that he has placed in my heart, they're actually coming to life, like, right before me. I'm going to do my best not to get emotional, but I'm not going to promise anything. So they're coming to life, like, right in front of my eyes, and especially this past month. And when we place our dreams in God's hands, we go up even higher than we could even go up on our own. And so, as always, I want to start with what is a dream? I like to define things. So a dream is a condition or achievement that is longed for, an aspiration. So what is a dream? John Maxwell puts it like this. A dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, will, and emotions, empowering you to do everything that you can to achieve it. Everything that you can to achieve it. So if someone were to ask you right now what your dream is in life to do, what would your response be? What would you say? Think about your dream. What comes to mind? A lot of times when we begin to dream, we often get nervous and scared, and we begin to feel intimidated even by the dream that maybe is in our heart, and we don't want to share that dream. I wrote this down 4 years ago. I actually wrote it down. At the beginning of the year, Pastor, you know, he always asks everyone in the office to write your dreams and goals down for the year and let's go over them, let's pray together. And I hate that. I hate that part of the year. And every year I know it's coming, and every year I try to put it off as much as I can because I don't want to share my dreams all the time. It's just I get scared of them. I get scared of voicing them. And so 4 years ago, I finally wrote this dream down, even though it was in my heart for a long time. I'm going to share it with you tonight, although you probably, I'm going to cry. I'm sorry. Maybe we shouldn't record this, but so I'm going to share it with you tonight. And you probably even knew my dream even before I did because you've seen everything that I do. But so I wrote this down 4 years ago and I was scared to voice it for so long. And I wrote it up there so that you can understand me through my crying. I wrote, my dream is to run and be a part of a Christian creative arts facility where people come from all over Rochester, New York. I'll get there. To take dance, art, music, theater, and voice with an E lessons. It's big, it's scary, but it's my dream. And I wrote that 4 years ago. And I was so scared to say it out loud because when you have a dream that seems so big, you don't want to share it because you're scared of sharing it. You're scared of what people might say or what people will think. And so I wrote it down and I shared it, and it was a scary moment because you don't know what's happened. You know, you don't know what's going to happen after you say, like, just kind of bleh all over the place your dreams, right? And so I've learned a lot since that moment, and I believe that God wants us to dream. I believe not only dream, but I believe he wants us to dream big because he's a big God that wants to do big things inside of every single one of us and work through us with the dreams that he places in our hearts. And so we're going to take a look at Joseph's story because I've learned a lot by reading the story of Joseph and the dream and the process that he went through to get to his dream. So I encourage you all to read the story of Joseph. It starts in Genesis 37 and it goes to about 45. Because there's so many chapters, I'm not going to stand here and read you all of that. So I'm going to paraphrase it in hopefully 5 minutes. You ready? Because you really need to know the story to know what I'm going to share on. So I'm going to try to do this in 5 minutes. So if I go too fast, well, you got to listen to it later, I guess. So we meet Joseph at age 17 in chapter 37. Joseph was the youngest of all of his brothers. Jacob had a lot of boys. I think there was 12. So Joseph was the youngest. So Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. I know his parents were not supposed to have favorites. Well, Jacob did. He had a favorite, and it was Joseph, to the point where he made him a beautiful coat, and all the brothers knew that Joseph was the favorite and already hated him for that reason. So one night, Joseph has a dream. And you ever have a dream at night, and you wake up, and you're like, dude, you got to listen to my dream. It was crazy. So that's kind of like what happened. Joseph went to bed. He had a dream. He woke up, and he said, listen, guys, listen to my dream. So he shared his dream. I dreamed we were in this field and we were getting grains of bundles together and we were all there and all of a sudden my bundle got really big and all of your grain bundles came over and bowed down before my bundle. Isn't that crazy? And his brothers got mad. What are you saying? We're going to bow down before you one day? Like, you're being stupid. Whatever, go away. And that's what happened. So a few nights later, Joseph has another dream. And in this dream, the sun, the moon, and the stars all bow down to Joseph. So again, Joseph wakes up. He says, guys, listen to this dream. I had a dream that the sun, moon, and stars all bowed down before me. So then they get really mad. They hated him all the more reason for having this dream. They said, who do you think you are that we're going to bow down to you? And at this point, even his dad was like, okay, you're talking nonsense. Stop talking about this dream. And then the Bible says even Jacob wondered in his head, in his heart, I wonder what this means. So the brothers really just did not like Joseph at that moment. Made fun of him. You know, you think about the youngest kid in the family, they kind of get the worst out of everything sometimes. And so here we have Joseph, the brothers. Jacob sends the brothers away to another city to work on the fields that they have. Jacob calls them Joseph and says, hey, I sent your brothers away. Can you go check on them? Joseph says, yeah, here I am. I'll go see him. So Joseph goes to check on his brothers a few years later. So he goes and his brothers see him from like a mile away because he has this awesome dream color coat on, right? So his brothers go, hey, look, here comes that dreamer. Like, that's how he's known to as his brothers. Here comes that dreamer. Hey, let's kill him. Let's plot to kill him. Like, what? So his own brothers begin to plot to kill his brother. So they're plotting to kill him. One of them stands up. Reuben, he says, no, listen, let's not kill him. Let's just beat him up a little bit. We'll throw him in this pit over here. You know, there's no water. We'll just leave him to die. It'll be fine. That way we're not killing him. So they're like, oh, okay, whatever. So he comes. They beat him up. They throw him in a pit. They're eating lunch. Another person comes along that sells slaves, a Midianite slave trader. He comes along. Judah, another brother, says, hey, instead of just leaving him here, why don't we sell him into slavery? Then our hands don't have to be, you know, we can wash our hands of him. He'll be out of our lives and we'll go home. We'll tell dad, we'll bring back the coat dipped in some goat's blood and a wild beast. We'll tell him, ate him up and he's gone. Joseph's out of our hair, out of our lives. We don't have to worry about it. He's in slavery. So now he's in slavery. He gets sold to a guy named Potiphar, who's right underneath Pharaoh, who's the king of Egypt at the time. So now he's at Potiphar's house. He's a slave. Potiphar notices that whatever Joseph does, God's hand is on. So whatever Joseph does, it prospers. So Potiphar's like, oh my gosh, look at this guy. Let's put him in charge of my house. I don't have to worry about anything. So here Joseph is part of, you know, the big plan. You think maybe Joseph's dream is starting to come true because he's ahead of this house. People have to talk to him. But isn't it just like the devil to bring something else along right when you're a step closer to the dream? Because Potiphar's wife thought Joseph was really handsome. And the Bible says, hey, Joseph's really handsome. So Potiphar's wife comes along and she's like, hey, Joe, you want to get with me? And he's like, no, I'm not getting with you. And day after day, she's like, hey, and he's like, no, and she's like, hey, no. So this goes on and on and on. So one day she comes in and is like, again, hey, you want to get with me? And he's like, no, I'm not getting with you. And he begins to run. I always tell the kids to run from sin, right? I don't care how ridiculous you look, you run. And so he literally, the Bible says he ran away. So as he ran away, a garment came off of Joseph. So Potiphar's wife has this garment, and she begins to tell this story about how he tried to seduce her, and it's all, you know, Potiphar's fault. So Potiphar, rightfully so, puts Joseph in jail. So his life is like going like this. In jail, again, the jail guy sees the potential in Joseph, puts him in charge of the jail, and then he begins to interpret dreams. So Pharaoh then had a dream. No one could interpret this dream. And so they said, oh, wait, I know about a guy named Joseph who can interpret dreams. So then Joseph goes before Pharaoh. He begins to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh sees the potential in Joseph. He says, okay, so now you know about the famine. Now you know how to fix it. I'm going to put you in charge of it. He gives him a ring. He gives him a gold necklace. He puts him in the second chariot, saying that he's second in charge. And in the chariot, the Bible says that the people are before him saying, bow down to me, bow down to me. And so the dream is coming to life right before Joseph's eyes. And all of this happened to Joseph to get there. And at the end of this dream, and like I said, you need to read this chapter because I'm coming up on like 6 minutes right now. He ends up helping the very people at the beginning of the chapter, or at the story, that were mocking him. He ends up helping his brothers at the very end, and everything is, you know, part of that dream. I need to take a drink, because that's the story that we're going to talk about tonight. Okay, did you get all that? All right, so from Joseph's story, here's a few lessons that we can learn. Number one, be a dream lifter, not a dream crusher. Joseph's brothers did nothing to encourage the dream that Joseph had. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They hated him. They laughed at him. Sometimes the people that we think should understand our dream the most, they don't always understand. But we keep dreaming anyway. Because his brothers made fun of him the first time, the second time he had a dream, he didn't let that stop him from sharing the dream again. Be a dream lifter. I would rather be a dream encourager to those around me than a dream crusher. I don't want to crush anyone's dream. Even when you have kids, you know, kids have silly dreams growing up, right? So my son used to want to be a Lego designer. I didn't look at him and be like, what? Who does that? Like, and I know there's people that do that, but I know that that's not God's dream for his life. Do you know? So, but instead I'm like, okay, what do you want to design? I think I still have a napkin holder he designed. Like, you want to be a dream encourager, because when he's 6 and he tells you that, you don't want him to be 12 and think, oh, my mom crushed me last time I told her my dream. I'm not going to tell her my dream. I want him to tell him his dream when he's 12. I want him to tell him his dream when he's 16, when he's 18. We need to be dream encouragers, not dream crushers. So get around people that encourage your dream. Pastor and Patty are dream encouragers. My mom and dad are dream encouragers. My husband is a dream encourager. We don't want to be around people that are just going to bash our dreams. We want to be around, and we want to be dream lifters, dream encouragers. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Be dream encouragers. Take it from Joseph's brothers, not to be like them, but to be the ones supporting and encouraging the dream. The second one, don't be afraid to dream. Sometimes our dreams are crazy. Joseph dreamed even when the odds are against him. He wasn't afraid to tell people about his dream. He wasn't afraid to dream. For years, I was scared to voice my dream. Years. I didn't want to be laughed at. I didn't want to be made fun of. There's still dreams in my heart that I know God is working on me to voice, and I know that's why I'm sharing this. Or worse yet, I didn't want to be known as a failure, because what if I voice those dreams and they don't happen? Then what? Because there is always a possibility that you say your dream and then it doesn't happen. Then what do you look like? You just said that for nothing, so now you're all open and vulnerable and everything, and now people are looking at you like, yeah, here comes that crazy dreamer, right? But don't be afraid to voice those dreams. Joseph's story is so encouraging because he shared it not once, but twice. He wasn't afraid to share the dream, even after the first time he was shot down. Noah had a dream to build an ark. He shared it. It came to pass. Nehemiah had a dream to build the wall. He went in. He voiced his dream. It came to pass. Esther had a dream to restore her city. She went in to the king's court and restored the city. All these people voiced their dreams before they even came true. These people weren't afraid to dream, to voice them, because they knew that their dreams were in God's hands. There's power when we voice the dream. My dream didn't start to come to pass until I voiced the dream. Even though it was in here for 20 years, I voiced it, and then it began to come true. That's why when at the beginning of the year, Pastor says this verse all the time. He says in Habakkuk 2:2, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it." And I love that, so that he may run who reads it. And I feel like if I don't voice my dream, even if I don't see it come to pass, how is someone else that has that same dream ever going to run with it if they don't see, oh, wait, someone else had this dream. I'm going to pick up on their dream and I'm going to run with it. You know, Pastor talks about generation to generation. How is the next generation know the dreams of us if we're not voicing them, if we're not giving them the ability to listen? We have big dreams too, so you can dream big dreams too. So let's voice our dreams. Norman Cousins once said, "The tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside of us while we still live." The tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside of us while we're still alive. Don't let the dream that's inside of you die while you're still alive. Voice your dream. Don't be afraid to dream, to put yourself out there in that dream. The next thing that we can learn from this story is that there's good dreams and there's God dreams. There's God dreams and there's good dreams. There are so many good dreams out there. So many good dreams. And a lot of us have good dreams. But God's plan A for our lives is always better than our plan B. And God had a plan A for Joseph's life. And it was God who gave Joseph the dream. Give your dreams to God. When you give your dreams to God, you may find that your dreams line up perfectly with what God has for you. And you're like, yeah, we got this, God. All right, what your dream is my dream, and we're going for it. But you may discover something beyond what you think you could even do. I was going to school. I have 3 years of college, actually, in me. It drives my mom crazy that I don't have that fourth year. But I have 3 years of college. I was going to school to be an elementary school teacher. And then I was going to teach dance at night. It's a good dream. Actually, I have a couple friends that do just that. They're elementary school teachers, and they teach a couple nights of dance at couple nights a week teaching dance. It's a good dream. But that was not God's dream for my life. It was a good dream, but it wasn't God's dream. Because when you place your desires and your passion is in his hands, he will begin to place his dreams and goals in your heart. You say, God, I give you this. And then he says, well, I give you this. See, you can have good dreams, but they need to be God dreams. When I placed dancing in my life in his hands, he began to shape my dreams into what he wanted for me in my heart. And his dreams were much bigger than what I could have done on my own. To really live the dream that God has for us, we need to let go of who we are. We need to die to self. We must die to our plan, our timing, our way, our reputation, getting credit for what we do, the need to be in control, and the need to be right. When we really live the dream that God has for us, because we need to say, okay, not my will, God, but yours be done. It's not my timing, it's yours. It's not my way, it's yours. It's not my direction, it's yours. It's a God dream, it's not just a good dream. The Bible says, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We need to lose ourselves to him so that he's able to place those God dreams in our heart and we can move forward. In an interview, Mark Hall and Matthew West, he wrote this. He said, before you plan your future, you should make sure you're not following your dream instead of God's dream. God's dream is a lot bigger than yours. He can do it if you just say follow, if you'll just follow him. Just let God be creative and let him do what he's doing. If your goal is really to follow God, he's not going to steer you off the cliff. Let your dreams be God's dreams. I thought of this, a little strange illustration, but we're going to go with it. So this is a cute little bunny. It's nice. It's cute. It's a good bunny. Addison loves it because I can do this and it like hops around. It's a good bunny. I would put this in a good little Easter basket. This is a good, let's say this is your dream. You can carry it. You can walk with it. You can show people it. You're like, yeah, look at my dream. This is cool. So this is a good dream. But what happens when you give your dreams to God is that he can give you a big dream. So I don't know about you, but I would much rather have this, a good God dream, rather than just a good dream. Good dream, you give it to God, you got a God dream, right? And this is what we need to do in life. We need to give God our good dreams so that he can show us the God dreams, which are much bigger than what we can hold in our hand and carry around with and put it in our nice little pocket. So what's your God dream? He turns this into this. He turns that into this. Let God turn your dreams into something bigger tonight. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Commit your way to him. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Number four, remain faithful in the process of the dream. The dream won't come without a cost. People will try to drag you down. People will try to put you in a box of what they think you should be. They will try to throw you under buses that you weren't even driving. But Joseph was faithful in the process of the dream. He kept moving forward. His brothers wanted to kill him. He was thrown into a pit. He was thrown into jail. He was seduced. He was all these things. He was hated by his own brothers. But he was still faithful to God. In every chapter it says, but Joseph, everything Joseph did prospered. God's hand was on Joseph. Everything that he did turned to good. Why? Because Joseph was faithful in the process of the dream. No matter what happened to him. I didn't read a verse in the Bible that said Joseph got really discouraged and walked away from God. I didn't read that. Throughout the whole story, all I see is the faithfulness of God to stick with in what situation that God had him in at the time. I read this. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. Martin Luther said that. When the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. No matter what battle you're facing, what's your faithfulness level? Where's your faithfulness at? No matter what comes your way, no matter what pit you may be in right now, are you faithful to God? No matter what jail or prison you may feel like you're in, are you faithful to God? No matter what people are saying about you, are you faithful during the process of the dream? Do you know that when Divine Dance started, Pastor got letters in the mail from other dance studios, basically knocking down what we're doing? Like the prices, they thought of everything, like the prices, who I was, like everything. He would get letters in the mail. Ridiculous. Do you know after one recital, I got a couple emails that said, we can't bring our daughter back to dance because you don't dance to Christian songs. Now, we're a Christian dance studio. Everything that we do has a good purpose, whether or not it's, we play Disney songs. Her daughter danced to Animal Crackers in My Soup. I kid you not. And she wrote me an email saying that she's not bringing her daughter back because it wasn't a Christian song. And I was like, what? Animal Shirley Temple? Like, really? But that's what they do. That's what the enemy does. He'll try anything he can to try to get you not to be faithful in the process. We can't let those letters or emails or looks or trials that we go through defer us from the faithfulness that God has shown us to be faithful to him. People will either want to kiss you, kill you, or be you. But that doesn't mean it should stop you. People will either want to kiss you, kill you, or be you, but that shouldn't stop you. Don't let those things stop you and defer you. Remain faithful despite your feelings. People will either want to kiss you, kill you, or be you, but that doesn't mean it should stop you. People will either want to kiss you, kill you, or be you, but that does not mean that it should stop you. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. Remain faithful despite your feelings. Despite how you're feeling. Because it when you have a dream, it gets tough. It doesn't come easy. You know, I didn't just dream it one day and the next day I'm living it. It's tough. You got to push. You got to push sometimes. Right? What's the hard work comes through hard work comes the dream, right? It takes hard work. The dream does not come without a cost. But when you're faithful in the process, God will be there the whole time. His timing, his way, his direction. What can you become if you don't stop, if you become a dreamer, and if you remain faithful? Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessing. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. And Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Remain faithful in the process of the dream. I like this quote. It says, like the intense fire that transforms iron into steel, as we remain faithful during the fiery trial of our faith, we are spiritually reigned and strengthened. When we remain faithful during the trials, we are spiritually strengthened to go. The last point is, your dream is bigger than you. Your dream is not your own. Remember, we have God dreams now. God gave Joseph his dreams. And the dream that God gave Joseph eventually helped the very ones who wanted to hurt him. It was God's plan all along. Genesis 45:5, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers. He says, don't you be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me into this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. Can you imagine, after everything that Joseph was through, to look at his brothers, talk about forgiveness, but he knew it was God's dream and purpose all along. So he said, don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. He could have done a lot. But he said, it was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. It was God's dream all along. And God's dream will always open doors for other people. Because your dream is bigger than just yourself. There's nothing you can't do if God has called you to it. Your life will have an impact on other people's lives when you dream the God dreams in your heart. Your dream isn't just for you. Your story can help somebody else. We need to be dream encouragers. We can't be afraid to dream. God's dream is better than any good dream on any day. We need to remain faithful in the process of the dream. And your dream is bigger than you. And when we realize this, you'll see that it's worth it in the end. It's worth it. Hudson Taylor said this, that there's three stages to God's will in your life. Impossible, possible, and done. At first, when Joseph had that dream, I'm sure he thought, this is weird. This is impossible. And then he began to walk it. He was living it out. And then he's like, man, God, this is possible. And then by the end of his life, he could look back and he said, oh, it's done. God had that dream and he made it possible. I lived it and now it's done. Impossible, possible, and done. No matter what stage you're at, no matter what stage, let it be a God dream. Go to bed with a dream and wake up with a purpose. There's a song, and we won't play it right now, but it's called Dream for You by Casting Crowns. And in it, it says, let me dream for you. I am strong when you're weak, and I'll carry you. So let go of your plan, be caught by my hand, and I'll show you what I can do when I dream for you. God has a dream for your life. Give up your dream to God, and you will see it go up and flourish bigger than any other thing that you could imagine. Let him dream for you. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the dreams that are in every single one of our hearts. God, even if we don't feel like we have a dream, I just pray that you place a dream even right now in our hearts. And God, that when you show us that God dream for our lives, that we're not afraid to let people know what that dream is. Help us to be around people that are dream encouragers. Help us to be dream encouragers, dream lifters. And God, help us to dream the dreams that will not only just help us, but God, help the people around us. Because our dreams and your dreams that you place in our heart, we know that they're bigger than we are. And I just ask that as we're faithful in that process, God, help us to keep going. Help us not to stop. And help us to give every aspect of our lives up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.